to the BOTUS podcast. I am Jacek from BOTUS, and today I am here with Dr. Piero Papi from Rome. Piero is a researcher at the University La Sapienza. Actually, he has already published numerous papers on the topic of soft and hard tissue regeneration. In addition to that, he's also pursuing a teaching activity at the university. But not only that, he is also working at a private practice in Rome. And in addition to this, he has been active as a lecturer at national and international events in the past years, especially in Europe and South America. So, Piero, it's a really great pleasure to have you here today. Thanks for taking the time. Piero, let me delve right into the first question. It sounds like you're having a really very busy life. Can you tell us a little bit, how does a typical working day in the life of Piero Papi look like?
First of all, thank you very much, Jacek, for inviting me to record this podcast. I mean, I'm very grateful of this opportunity, and it's a pleasure to speak and to talk again about dentistry in this very difficult time and situation. So it's nice to have a normal chat, you know, while we are dealing with this massive coronavirus outbreak.
Yes, we're recording this this podcast in April 2020. So right now we are in the middle of the global coronavirus pandemic, which we really hope will be over soon. Yeah,
we hope we will be over soon, because I mean, we are stuck and at home and locked down. So we hope that we can go back to our normal lives as soon as possible. So let me make a brief introduction about myself. As Jacek has currently stated, I am a researcher at the Sapienza Department of Oral and Maxillofacial Sciences at Sapienza University of Rome. Sapienza is the oldest university in Europe. It's one of the biggest as well. And the dentistry course is the biggest all over Italy. So we are actually very proud of our work and our research and clinical activities. As Jacek has pointed out, I'm not only a researcher and an assistant professor, but also a clinician. I'm a dentist. I have a private practice with my father, so I'm not stuck in the laboratory activities or in the just the clinical studies in a university setting. We are dealing with real life, as I believe the majority of you guys. So my typical day, it's like in the morning, I go to the clinic at the university. So we usually work from 8 a.m. to, let's say, 1 p.m. And then we treat patients at the oral surgery unit. So it's mainly on implantology and replacing teeth, and also on tooth extraction, especially wisdom tooth extraction. So we perform all kind of regenerative procedures from sinus lift to GBR, normal GBR, or whatever. And we are very proud that we can offer our patients a private practice, facilities, because we are trying to have to work with the best biomaterials as possible. We try to be to work and to operate as we were dealing with a private practice. So we are particularly proud of this, because we are not offering just to the patients just the basic treatment, the very simple ones, but we are dealing also with the most complex and particular treatments. So in the morning, I work at the university, usually in the clinic, let's say 3 times a week. And the other 2 days in the morning, we have the classrooms, because we are teaching at the undergraduate level for the dentistry course, and also usually in the weekends, on Fridays, for the postgraduate level, because we have a postgraduate course in oral implantology. And I usually spend, unfortunately, many weekends teaching in this program. And in the afternoon, I go to my private practice, where I'm focused just on oral implantology. So I am a pure implantologist and oral surgeon, but I am also carrying out the prosthetic treatment of my implants.
Okay, wow. So it's really quite a diverse field of activities that you have. So see both worlds from a certain point of view, the scientific world, and also the very practical clinical world, right? And
I think, yes, I think this is very important, because you can manage to have a more complex approach to treating the patients, because you see the patient not just as a scientific investigation, but as a patient in the world complex. I mean, somebody who will call you if has some problems. It's your patient, you know. It's somebody that you need to treat as much as well as possible, so you can keep the patient in your practice. So this is important. I mean, this is very, very important, because it's like a perfect way to understand better the reality of the clinical treatment, you know?
So by uniting, let's say, the scientific world and also the clinical practical world, I think that enables you also to reach the best possible result for the patients, I can imagine. Right?
Exactly. I mean, you are very lucky, because since you work in a university, you can get in touch with the all the latest development from the science. So you are always very update on the biomaterial section, on the dental implants. So you know all the stuff in advance or at the very first moment, and then you can also experiment these conditions to your private practice. So you can, I mean, let's say you can apply the advantages of being an academic staff to being a private practitioner. So you have also the freedom of private practice, where you don't have bosses and all the pyramidal system of the universities, but you have also I see just advantages in these situations.
So in addition to all of this that you've just described, you also are active as a teacher at university. Can you tell maybe a little bit about this also?
Yes, thanks. Yes, I mean, I'm active as an assistant professor at the University La Sapienza. So I teach mainly in the implantology course at the undergraduate level for the students of the dental degree section, and also in the postgraduate course of oral implantology, where I am specifically in charge of the training for the biomaterials. So my specialty, my research area is biomaterials and bone regeneration, but also soft tissue regeneration, especially around dental implants. And probably we will have the opportunity to discuss a few studies that we have conducted and we are conducted right now.
So you're really a specialist in the field of bone and soft tissue regeneration. Now, talking about this, in the past years, you've been providing on quite a regular basis your scientific and clinical advice to BOTUS. So talking about your collaboration with BOTUS, can you remember maybe the first time when you heard about BOTUS, or how you got in touch with BOTUS?
Okay, thank you for the question. I mean, it's very nice, because I remember exactly the first time I met a BOTUS employee. The employee is Arturo Robertazzi, and I think that he was recently accepted to BOTUS. I mean, I think this was one of his first trip as a salesman for BOTUS. And we were at the department at La Sapienza, and he was speaking with my director, Professor Pompa. So Arturo was explaining us this very new concept of the indication matrix. So this concept was very nice.
So the indication matrix, it's an online database where clinicians can find hundreds of different documented clinical cases on different indications with different biomaterials.
And he told me, okay, Piero, if you are interested, you can post your cases and we will share your cases on the indication matrix as well. But if you are a researcher, you can cooperate with us also in the field of developing our products. So take a moment to look at our portfolio and think about some research protocol that you can perform at your university. Just send us the copy and we will discuss it, and if it's okay for us, we will support you. And I was like, okay, so probably it's just another company which is coming to the university and we are talking and making this very nice conversation, but we don't know if this is gonna go everywhere or somewhere. But when I sent Arturo the protocol, which was very short, I mean, just one page and a half, so very basic stuff, he told me that they were interested. He told me that, it was very fast. Like, I got their review in 2 days, and they told me, okay, it's fine. So why don't you come to Berlin and we don't chat on this in person? So I went with a group of Italian customers of Straumann to Berlin to see Arturo. and we had this conversation, and we decided to start with the study, and was actually my first study on Mucoderm and MaxResorb, a simultaneous use of Mucoderm MaxResorb for peri-implant hard and soft tissue augmentation. And I'm particularly proud because this work, it's going to be published, and I just received the news like 30 minutes ago before we started this conversation, that the paper was accepted in a very prestigious surgical journal, and we will publish what was our first protocol. So, you know, the very nice thing about this cooperation with BOTIS is that you actually realize and accomplish something. You talk about a protocol, then the protocol became a study, and the study became a publication. So you can have all the workout is actually very good, because everything goes in the appropriate direction. There are no bureaucratic stuff, no problems at this level. You just need to express an interesting idea, and they will support your idea. And I think that for a researcher, this is the most beautiful thing that can happen.
Well, that sounds great. It sounds like everything went quite quickly and quite dynamically. Yeah, that's good. And you mentioned the first protocol. Can you a little bit delve into it? What was it about? Do you remember what it was?
Yes, I remember what it was very well. So we basically, when you extract a tooth in the aesthetic area, you know that you can have some deficiencies, some ridge deficiencies, because maybe you will have the bone sufficient to insert an implant, but from the aesthetic and the functional point of view, you will lack soft tissue around dental implants that, as we know, they are particularly important for the maintaining and the promotion of peri-implant health. So let's say that usually when you realize GBR around dental implants, you don't take into account soft tissues, or you can use a connective tissue graft to apply above the GBR products. But as we know, this will need a palate harvesting, so we will need that. We will have a postoperative donor site morbidity, and the interesting thing is that with my protocol, the protocol that we have developed, that we are publishing right now, you are able to look at hard and soft tissues at the same moment when placing the implant, and all in the aesthetic area. So you place the implant, and then you cover the implant, there is an exposure of the fascial aspect of the implant, with MaxResorb, which is a very nice synthetic bone substitute, which lasts for around 6 months. And then you cover the bone substitute with the acellular dermal matrix, with the Mucoderm matrix, which is particularly interesting because you're able also to gain soft tissue volume at the same moment. So you're gaining volume, and also you are protecting your bone regeneration. So you use just one membrane for two purposes, as a barrier membrane, as an autogenous soft tissue substitute.
Okay, so basically it also serves as an alternative to the patient's own soft tissue in order to avoid the harvesting from the palate. Okay, now coming back to the collaboration that we started to talk about. So you mentioned that the first step was, you sent a clinical case for the indication matrix. You wrote a little protocol for a case series. You also did a webinar.
Yes, we started with the study. Then I started also another study on Mucoderm as a soft tissue substitute for peri-implant soft tissue augmentation at second stage surgery. And then I had the opportunity to present my work at the ITI Congress in Italy, because I was selected as one of the two youngest speakers to present their work. And I was particularly proud because the work was very interesting. And so I had the possibility from the BOTIS side to expose my work in a webinar to a worldwide audience, let's say. And I had this very nice webinar on soft tissue augmentation with Mucoderm. It was very nice because, it was the first time that I confronted not a real audience, but a web-based audience. So it's quite strange to speak in front of a computer for like 1 hour and a half without seeing nothing. But it's very nice because you can get in touch with people all over the world. You can receive questions at the same moment from people from the United States to Oman. And it was very, very nice opportunity.
Okay, that sounds really, yeah, really great. So it went basically step by step. One thing that I can also always emphasize that is very, very useful, I think, when it comes to collaborations with Botus is to do this webinar, because Botus as a company organizes worldwide congresses with different distribution partners. And very often those partners are asking, yeah, for to see a speaker. So in order to organize a lecture, to organize an event, it's very useful to have those webinar recordings. I cannot say it often enough, I think. And then the next step, there was a local event in Rome.
There was a local event in Rome. We organized a local event at my university just to present, I mean, our first results, our interim results with the Botus products. So we had this very local meeting, I mean, but it was very successful because we had more than like 70 attendees that for a local event in Rome performed by a very young clinician, I mean, was a very good result. And we made this as our first national lecture. And then, I started to become a lecturer for Botus in a very funny way, because I was going to vacation in Colombia with my fiance, and we stayed like for a month. So I told Arturo, I know that you love Colombia, just give me some advices where to see some places or where to go. And he told me, okay, but since you're going to Colombia, do you want to perform like a lecture for us there? Because we have a very nice distributor there. And we would like to make a lecture on with your experience. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, I don't know how many people will come to see an Italian guy, which is 27 in Colombia, but it's fine. Let's go. And so I was very curious about this event. And I was very surprised because first of all, the event was held in like the biggest and the most beautiful club all over Bogota, which is the capital of Colombia. And then there were 150 attendees. So I was like, wow, how is this possible? You know, they are all coming for me. I was very nervous because I had to speak in Spanish in front of all these people talking about my experience. And the event was very successful. And I believe that this was my real start of collaboration with Botus as a lecturer. I mean, it was very nice. And they gave me this very, very big opportunity. I was very young. And I didn't have any experience, so they trusted me, and I was very happy for the result. And then we started this cooperation. We made some international lectures, like at the ITI Congress in Benelux, and then we made our first tour.
Wow, that sounds really, really impressive. So basically you went from recording a clinical case over submitting a protocol for a little case series or for a study. Then you did a webinar online and then you started doing a national and international events in South America, in Benelux. You mentioned the ITI Congress in Benelux. Can you maybe tell a little bit also about this experience?
This experience was very nice. I mean, I organized this experience with you, Jacek. If I remember well, you contacted me like 3 weeks before the Congress and you told me, okay, so we have this opportunity to perform this like workshop at the Congress. I mean, we are in a rush, but you can, if you want, I mean, we can make something. I don't know how many people will come, Piero. You were very honest and very kind with me. And then we had a very successful workshop. I mean, we had a lot of people and it was very nice, a very nice chat with all these ITI members and fellows that was very attractive for them, attractive for me. So it was very nice. It was really a very nice moment. It was an English, an English workshop with very high level practitioners. So very, very nice experience. But honestly, I need to believe that the real turning point in my career was a Botus Straumann sponsor prize. It was the Young Pro Award. I mean, I was very lucky because I learned through Botus that there was this possibility, this prize, the Young Pro Award, that is a biennial prize. where just young clinicians can apply. So they need to present their protocol that can be a thesis or can be just a scientific paper. The only condition is that it doesn't have to be published yet. So you send your paper and basically an anonymous expert committee evaluate your paper. Well, I was very surprised because I thought, okay, well, there's going to be, I don't know, 100 of applicants from all over the world, why they should select my work. I applied and it's a nice opportunity, but let's see. And then in the end, I received this mail like just 10 days before the Congress, the Bone and Tissue Day Congress in Berlin. That was the date for the prize unveiling. And then I was like, wow, I've been selected. I was like working in my clinic. I was treating a patient and I finished to treat the patients and I saw the email on my cell phone and I started to jump all over the dental clinic because I was very happy. I mean, I had this fantastic day where they told me, strictly confidential, you have been selected, nobody knows yet, so don't say anything to even to your mentor at university because the world needs to know at the day of the Congress. And I was like, wow, I mean, I'm super, was an amazing day.
That sounds like, yeah, an amazing experience. Well, congratulations again for having won this prize. Maybe one thing that could be also interesting for our listeners. I mean, you already mentioned briefly your field of research, but maybe we can delve a little bit deeper into the papers that you have published so far. So one of the materials that you have examined in particular is permamem. Can you maybe delve a little bit into this?
Okay. So well, we okay. Me and my Professor Giorgio Pompa, who is my head and director, we started to investigate these botis biomaterials. So the first one was mucoderm, and we published a first paper on peri-implants of tissue augmentation with mucoderm at second stage implant surgery. So with 1 year follow-up, this was our first paper. And then we made very recently another paper on the use of permamem. Permamem is a synthetic membrane made of DPTFE, and it's very nice because it can be left completely exposed in the oral cavity, which is particularly strange because for anyone that has an experience with the DPTFE membrane, you know that when you get an exposure, then you can have a detrimental effect on the underlying bone regeneration. So I was a little bit scared when they told me, you can leave the membrane completely exposed. I was like, wow, let's see what happens. So we performed this study, very nice. We did like a few, like if I remember well, 15 cases. And we selected just teeth to be extracted with adjacent teeth intacted. And then what we did was to extract the tooth and then to don't place anything in the socket. Okay, so we didn't perform a GBR inside the socket. We just left the blood clot to work, and then we put on top the blue membrane, the permamem, and we didn't even raise a flap. We just carefully insert the membrane on the underlying bone, and then we stabilize the membrane with a matrix suture on top. So very simple. I was very skeptical about the procedure because I was like, the patient is gonna lose the membrane in the next few hours. But luckily, this didn't happen in any patient. So this means that you can safely perform the procedure. And then we, after 5 weeks at maximum, we removed the membrane. And you can see that there is no need for anesthesia or no need for anything. It's like a 20-second procedure. You just take the tissue pliers and you take off the membrane. And then everything is completely epithelialized. So everything seems quite nice. Then you wait the normal amount of time, let's say 4 months since tooth extraction. And then when we raise the flap, we see that we measure again the horizontal and vertical dimensions of the alveolar ridge, and we saw that we had an impressive result because our, in all the cases included, the horizontal and the vertical dimensions of the alveolar ridge were preserved. So the socket preservation worked really well. I mean, without any biomaterial inside the socket. So just leaving the blood clot working with any exterior interference, you know, which is the most important part.
And one question out of curiosity, you mentioned the, you talked a little bit about the membrane permamem, the biosynthetic membrane. I know that a lot of clinicians, when it comes to membranes, a lot of them use collagen membranes, resorbable membranes. And some of them, I would say, are sometimes a little bit skeptical when it comes to using a synthetic membrane. Or let's say that there are two different schools of thought, two different philosophies, clinicians who use almost only synthetic membranes and other clinicians who use almost only collagen membranes. Now, when it comes to the permamem in socket extraction, would you say that this is a procedure that to use that any clinician can do? Is it difficult? Is it a technically challenging procedure?
Well, I honestly believe that using the permamem alone, as we have described in the paper, it's a procedure that anyone can perform. So it's really very, very simple, very useful, and very easy. I was, like you correctly stated, I was one of the guy of the collagen membrane philosophy. So it cost me a lot to believe that this membrane could work. But actually, as soon as I try, well, you can work. For me, for posterior extractions, this is the best indication. Just use the blue membrane without anything in the socket. It's very easy. You don't need to raise a flap. You don't need to make very difficult releasing incisions. You don't need to do anything. You just need to extract the tooth as much conservative as possible and then to place on top the blue membrane, and then you will see that you will have incredible results. I mean, because the patients will be very surprised by don't have to pay for a massive GBR when placing the implant, you know, because you will save them a lot of money and a lot of time as well. So this is also a very good thing from the economical point of view.
And coming back to the other biomaterial that we briefly mentioned before, the mucoderm, which is a soft tissue graft, so it's an alternative to the patient's own soft tissue. How can I ask? I mean, since you discovered this mucoderm, do you still use autologous soft tissue grafts, or is it something that you would still do a procedure? Or...
Well,
yeah. What is your opinion on this?
Well. I mean, I need to be honest. The mucoderm matrix is my favorite biomaterial. Okay, so I started with mucoderm. So I let's say that mucoderm is in my heart. I mean, okay. So it was the turning biomaterial in my career. So let's say that I am an implantologist. Okay, so I'm not strictly a periodontist. So if you are talking about dental implants, I honestly don't see a reason to use autogenous soft tissue, because if you need to obtain at least 2 millimeters of keratinized mucosa white around your implant, you can perfectly use an autogenous soft tissue substitute like the mucoderm matrix, which has a thickness from 1.4 to 1.7 millimeters that will last and will give you the amount of soft tissues you need to promote peri-implant health. So in my opinion, for dental implants, you don't need to use soft tissue substitutes. And also the literature is going in this direction, because if you see the latest evidence, the latest systematic reviews comparing the connective tissue grafts with the autogenous, with the matrix, mucoderm matrix or other collagen matrix, you will see that there is no difference, no statistical difference from one material to the other. So my personal opinion is that you don't have patient postoperative morbidity, so no bleeding, no general discomfort, no pain. You don't have limited material, because you have unlimited access to mucoderm. You can use all the collagen matrix you want. So if you have multiple implants to treat, this is a benefit. And also the patients are more happy. Patients are happier because they don't need to undergo a second procedure.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much, Piero. Thank you very much for having shared your experience with our listeners. Thank you for your time that you took to do this podcast. So, thank you very much. And to all of our listeners, thank you very much for your attention and stay tuned. I hope you will tune in to the next podcast that we are going to do. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.